No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields peaceable fruit. The resurrection morning will prove that many of the losses of God's people were in reality eternal gains. Emmanuel was brought up in a religious home, but had no genuine faith. And as a young man, he supplemented his small pay by dealing drugs. And he was sentenced to time in Lithgow Correctional. Prison is not easy. It's not just about being locked up. It's this lack of hope. It is the stress that you're on. You know, you're constantly vigilant because you're surrounded by people who, given a chance, half a chance, they will harm you. It's stressful. And this suffering pushed him beyond religion to engage with the chaplain there, Mark, and discover Christ in his word. You know, outside these walls, he resisted Jesus, but Emmanuel is now our Christian brother. See, Jesus restores life his way. What do we do with that? Secondly, trust Jesus. Take him at his word. This healing is more than a sign of Jesus' nature. It actually reveals something about the nature of faith. There is a belief that honours and a belief that dishonours. There is trust and there is trust. This moment is not just about Jesus and the official. It's actually his encounter with the hometown, everyone. Yeah, Jesus has just come from this massively successful mission in Samaria. We looked at it last week. Now, the Jews considered Samaritans racially inferior, religiously heretical, but Jesus cuts through. And it finished just before we picked up the reading, verse 42. Here he is, the Saviour of the world, the town of Sychar in Samaria, putting their trust in him. And remember, there was no sign, there was no miracle in Samaria. They took Jesus at his word. As many outsiders came to real saving faith, he's just come from there. Verse 43, he returns to the natural people in Galilee. Verse 44, he points out no prophet gets honour in his home country. He's back, and it strikes us he's home, but it's odd. In verse 45, the Galileans welcome him. They welcome him, but they don't honour him. Yeah, and that's what Jesus is calling out in verse 48. Unless you people, you know, he's not answering the official, but everyone. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. They welcome him as someone with great power to bless them, but they won't honour him as their Lord and Master. They want the signs, not the reality. There is trust and there is trust. And Jesus knows it. Remember back in Jerusalem, chapter 2, verse 23, many people saw signs he was doing and believed in his name, but Jesus wouldn't entrust himself to them, for he knew all men, all people. He sees the heart. He knows the reality of our belief in him. Those two types of trust exposed by this sign, this healing. First, there's belief that dishonors. You know, Jesus does my bidding. Trusting that I know how to restore life better than him. And the crowds welcomed and they hoped that he would do the kind of favour for them that he did for the official. And they welcomed him on the condition that Jesus acts powerfully to meet their hopes, their goals, their desires. They want the sign, not the reality. They want the, you know, Jesus' blessing, but not his word, not relationship with him, not submission to him. You know, it's those crowds miraculously fed in chapter 6 who grumbled and quickly left because they couldn't swallow his word. It was a belief that dishonors, a claim to trust Jesus that is conditional on him doing things your way, a belief that pigeonholes Christ and wants him in your pocket, a belief that doesn't want Jesus' words, doesn't want direct knowledge of him, where him to challenge you, but just a genie to rub and make things better. And that kind of belief is popular. The town is turning up. A lot of people want to relate to Jesus that way. They still do. But sadly, that belief is dead. John 2:24, Jesus won't entrust himself. He won't enter into relationship with that kind of believers. They have no real connection with him. A family, their child was gravely ill. They went to church. They met with the minister. They and the whole church prayed. And the child, in God's kindness, was miraculously healed. And the next month, the family were at church and the month after. But the month after that, they started dropping off, and over time they found different explanations for the child's recovery, and God just kind of disappeared from their lives. They had no interest in the eternity Christ offers. And Jesus is saying, if you're here today expecting him to do good your way, he will not fit in your pocket. And so if your faith is in any way conditional, you know, I'll believe Jesus if, or I'll trust him when, he's inviting you, no, go beyond that to a deeper, more satisfying, real faith. Beware the belief that dishonours. And he said that second type of trust, belief that honours. I do Jesus' bidding. I trust he knows how to restore life better than me. And the key is what we heard in the kids' talk, isn't it? Taking Jesus at his word. Verse 50, Jesus commands the official, go, your son will live. Yeah, and as Lyndall pointed out, at that point, the official didn't know the son was healed. You know, he's not calling home, texting, finding out an update. That's why he wants Jesus to go with him to Capernaum. He only finds out the son is healed in verse 51 when he meets the servants on the return trip. That is, he gets confirmation of Jesus' word. He gets the sign after he's already acted on Jesus' promise. He took Jesus at his word. He literally believed Jesus' word. Belief that honours Jesus takes him at his word. That is real faith. It humbles you and me to trust he knows better than us to restore life, to give life to the full. One commentator explains what it is to take Jesus at his word. We must live on the basis of what God has revealed, not what we feel. Pilots who fly into clouds must follow their instruments even when those contradict their clear sense perceptions of which way is up or they'll inevitably die. And when we go through clouds of either prosperity or adversity, we must not go on feelings or self-sufficiency or despair, but rather trust a gracious, wise God. You know, true faith is satisfied with what Jesus says, not deceived by our circumstances. You know, it's the kind of radical faith that meant Peter Jensen couldn't be pocketed because he wouldn't respond the way the world would, others would. This is not easy or straightforward. The official actually seems to grow in his faith. So in verse 50, he does take Jesus at his word. He does believe. But after hearing his son is alive and well, in verse 53, he and all his household believed. And the original is emphatic. It's he himself and the household believe. That is, John records he's got a faith that is real and growing. Real faith is not the opposite of doubting and struggling. It's that, you know, don't go away thinking you're not a real Christian because you find faith hard and you ask big questions. It's how you deal with them. You know, true faith wrestles and takes Jesus at his word and grows as a result. That when he says, you know, forgive as you've been forgiven, and every bit of you, every fibre wants to hold a grudge, well, you forgive. It struggles through to obedience. Friends and mission partners at my previous church, Cameron and Lara, spent years preparing to go to Cambodia. They had prayed and they had planned, they raised support, they were trained, and they got to Cambodia after many years. And after 8 months, they made a difficult choice to return. And in all the upheaval, in the lost hopes, the disappointment, the feeling that they let others down, they kept trusting and praising God. They were able to share on a return trip. Some churches that partnered them didn't want them to come back and report. But they did share in some. And Cameron was able to say that their plans didn't work, but they had not fallen out of God's plan for them. Lara was able to share of the hurt, but in the midst of the hurt, being wrapped in God's arms. Our belief that honours Christ doesn't demand he do our bidding. We take him at his word. We trust he knows better than us how to restore life. He'll always do good. He'll always do what's best. His way. Trust him to restore life. Let's pray. Our Lord and Father, we thank you for the goodness of Christ. We thank you for his power and compassion. We thank you that he is able, by his own death and resurrection, to overcome the horror of death and bring life to the full. And Father, we ask that we might see Jesus clearly, not just the sign, but the reality. We would see him as he is, and like that official, take him at his word in every circumstance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.